All right, if you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to Exodus chapter 8. And then when you find your place, if you're able to stand with me, stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 8, and then we're going to drop down to 25 through 32. So Exodus chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me." And drop down to 25. It says, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, and from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are very thankful for this time that we have. As we look into your word, Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of us personally. I pray that you'd put the very words that I need in my mouth, that I would preach your word, not my opinion, but your word, and that it would go out and it would change hearts and lives for the better. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish through it. And we thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. Looking forward to it now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Titled this, Let's Not Make a Deal. Let's not make a deal. Okay? Satan wants to play Let's Make a Deal with us every single day. Satan wants to do everything he can to get us to deal with him. And we need to not make a deal with the devil. Yeah. There's too many that are making a deal with the devil. The Lord sent Moses down to a place called Egypt to speak to the king, to Pharaoh, to cause him to let his people go. They were in bondage to slavery. God says, you go down and you talk to Pharaoh and you get him to let my people go. Well, Pharaoh refused to let the people go. So God sent 10 plagues. Said, here, how about if I send a few plagues and maybe that'll change your mind, right? See, God can get people to do what he wants them to do. It's just how much motivation do you need? God's got everything at his disposal, so how much motivation do we need to do what God's called us to do? How much motivation did Pharaoh need to say, okay, I'll let God's people go? Well, God sent 10 plagues, and during the course of these plagues, over and over and over, Pharaoh offered to let God's people go. But, don't you like that word, but, he wanted to make a deal. Every time he wanted to make a deal, he wanted to do deal after deal after deal, and Moses said, no. God told Moses, lead my people into the promised land. So 4 times, Pharaoh offers to let him go, and each time he wanted to make a deal, Each time he's saying, Moses, I'm tired of all these flies. I'm tired of this lice. I'm tired of these frogs. I'm tired of all this stuff. I know God said to let his people go. I will. But first, let's make a deal. God didn't say we're supposed to make a deal. The Bible is very clear. We're supposed to flee. Right? Flee. We're supposed to be walking so close to God that we're lock in step with him and Satan will flee from us. But instead, we want to walk so lock in step on that line, right? That dividing line, that every once in a while we fall off on the wrong side. And it's because we choose to. Don't get this idea that, well, it accidentally happened. No, we choose, every time we do something, we choose to do it. And Satan says, let's make a deal. I want to look at four deals that he proposed to God's people. The first one, why don't you sacrifice here? Right? Sacrifice right here. In verse 25 it says, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your gods in the land. He wants them to do it here. Don't go outside. Don't leave. Don't go the 3 days journey. Don't do any. Stay right here and sacrifice here. Pharaoh's saying, let's make a deal. I'll tell you what, you can serve your God, but you don't have to leave Egypt to do it. Same deal that Satan offers to believers today. You don't have to leave your sin. You don't have to leave the world. You don't have to leave any of that. You can do it right here. Yeah. Go ahead and be a Christian if that's what you want to do. Just don't leave. Do it right here among all of us. The devil doesn't want us to get out of reach. See, we give the devil so much credit, we think he's everywhere. He can do, he knows all things, right? No, that's God. The devil is not God. He's a created being. Thank God Moses refused Pharaoh's deal. Verses 26 and 27 goes on and says, and Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. Notice he's saying, we're going to do what the God told us to do, not what you want us to do. Many times man says, no, you can't do that, you got to do this. And we need to say, no, we're going to follow God. We're going to do what God tells us. So Moses tells him, if they remain in Egypt and they offer up their sacrifices, these sacrifices that they're going to offer are despised by the Egyptians and they'll stone them. You see, the Egyptians considered cattle to be sacred. The bull represented their god Apis, and the cow represented their goddess Hathor. See, so if they offer these things up, this is not going to set well with the Egyptians. He's saying, we can't do this. If they do these sacrifices to Jehovah God, it's going to bring rioting and violence. Moses said, we can't stay here. You ever tried to mix water and gas? Doesn't work. You can't do it. So nothing changed. Today, ungodly people ride by churches and they look at the steeples on the church buildings and they're pointing people up to heaven. and they're angered by it. They're angered by it. People are offended. Do you know what offends the ungodly boss when you tell him Sunday is the Lord's day and I can't work Sunday? It offends them. They don't like that. They don't like that at all. It offends the ungodly when you tell them that you don't care to hear language that takes the Lord's name in vain. It offends them. The lost world will never understand the worship of the Spirit-filled Christian. Never. They don't get it. Their message is, do not go out far from us. Learn to tolerate us. You know what's really interesting I've noticed? The further and further I go in this life, I'm noticing that people want me to tolerate everything they're doing, but they have no toleration for Christianity at all. It's like a one-way street, right? They want us to give and give and give. That's Satan wanting it, folks. Satan wants us to give up everything we believe in, everything we're willing to take a stand for. He wants us to discard it. They want to fill the world with sin, and they want Christians to tolerate it. They want to trash movies with four-letter words and nudity, and we're supposed to tolerate it. They want to take God out of the schools, and we're supposed to tolerate that. They want to cram laws down our throats that permit abortion, and they want us to tolerate it. I make no apologies for the fact that I am not pro-life. I am anti-abortion. People say, well, what? Is God not still on the throne? Is God not still the giver and taker of life? I read in the Bible that he's the giver and taker of life. I read in the Bible that he's the only one. So what's the issue? Well, that's just not being very tolerant. Well, I'm sorry. I'll be as tolerant as God is on the subject. They want to fill our streets with homosexuality, and we're supposed to tolerate it. They want to take the Lord's Day and make it just like any other day of the week, and we're supposed to tolerate it. I liked back in the old days when you couldn't do anything on Sunday because everything was closed. Then Satan said, oh, here's a way we can get those people out of church. We can start opening things up on Sunday. Used to be, they wouldn't dare open on a Sunday. Now they don't care. In fact, now they talk down about businesses that are closed on Sunday. Said, do you want to follow God or not? They want to fill our young people's ears with garbage using unholy music, and we're supposed to tolerate it. The other day, somebody said something about some lyrics to a song. I said, I have no idea. They said, well, what do you listen to? I said, the old-fashioned hymns. They said, that's the only music you listen to? Yes. That's all I want to listen to. There's too much garbage out there, folks. Even, I haven't found any in our hymn books, but I can tell you that there are some ungodly music in hymn books. I'll go one step further. People say, there's nothing wrong with contemporary Christian music. Do you know who the founder of contemporary Christian music is? She's a lesbian. So, is there anything wrong with that? Well, let me just ask you, what does God say about homosexuality? So yeah, there's something wrong with it, but we're supposed to tolerate it. No, we don't have to tolerate this stuff. They want to replace godly parents as role models to their children and make scumbags of the earth models for our children, and we're supposed to tolerate it. You can't tell, I'm a little aggravated with this tolerant stuff. No, we don't need to tolerate it. We need to follow what God's word says. The message of the lost world is tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. Until it comes to them tolerating us. The message of the cross has always been, do not tolerate sin. Get as far away from it as you possibly can. That's the message the Bible gives us. You can't worship God among the crowd because to them, the cross of Christ is foolishness. That lost crowd, they think we're crazy. They don't understand it. It's ridiculous to them to think that we will come to church 3 times a week. It's like, have you lost your mind? No, I haven't. I was talking to someone the other day. Do you know we were in church for revival Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? That was 6 services. And if you throw in the Sunday school hour, that's 7. They think I've lost my mind. No, I haven't. I don't see a problem with it. I've said before here, and I'll say it again, I liked when there were 2-week-long revivals. You would go to church every single day for 2 weeks straight. Boy, that'd blow their minds today, wouldn't it? You did what? 2 weeks straight? Wow. And you haven't end up in the nut house? No. There was a time when that went on. In fact, there was a time when 2-week revivals would stretch even longer because the evangelist would say, God's really moving and we need to add more days. And they were willing to do that. And people would come. And nowadays, all I hear from preachers is, people won't come. I don't know about you, but we had 7 services straight and there were people here every single service. So they will come, but they won't come to something that you don't have. They think it's ridiculous that Christians will give a tenth of their income for the work of God. And they'll do it every single week. What are these people thinking, right? They think it's ridiculous that the Word of God is the final authority in the life of the Christian. How can that be? Because, see, to them, worshiping is foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We need the preaching of the Word of God. We need it more, not less. Talking Thursday night to the guy who's parked out here with his truck, he's got to come back and get it by the end of today. That's what I gave him. He said, I attend this church over here on Park Road. I said, well, if you're coming back after a morning service and you want an evening service, because I'm pretty sure they don't have one. He didn't even know if they had an evening service. Now, wouldn't that be sad if you didn't know that your church had an evening service or not? And by the way, it's in the bulletin. It's good to have it there so people remember, right? But it's in the bulletin. So I told him, I said, well, if they don't, you're welcome to come here. He told us he'd come, so we'll see. God told Moses to bring the people of God out of Egypt, he meant come out from among them. The same thing is true for Christians. We're supposed to come out from among them. When the Lord saves us, he commands us to come out from among them, not stay making deals with Satan, but come out from among them. Now, I understand not everybody agrees with what I'm preaching, and that's fine. But people have to understand that the Word of God is the Word of God, and it's not going to change. And people have the best of intentions sometimes, but when it comes to the lost world and Christianity mixing, it does not mix, because water and gas do not mix. It's not going to happen. There are churches all over this nation that do not come out from among them. In fact, they say, we've got to bring the things of the world into the church so we can get the world into the church so we can get them saved. Can somebody please take the Word of God, I'm talking the authorized version, for English-speaking people, and show me in this book where we are supposed to bring the things of the world into the church to get people into the church to get them saved? I've never found it in here. I've asked people to show me. Nobody seems to, they've got their opinions, but they don't have anything scripture to back it up. These churches, I think, because they're spiritually ignorant of the Word of God, they think what they're doing is right. I think of Saul of Tarsus thinking what he was doing was right until he met the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved and realized persecuting Christians was not what was right. Many things going on that I could give as examples, but we'll move on. People today have good intentions, but the problem is that when we start to take on the world's music and methods, we have made a deal with Satan. Had a guy ask me one day, he says, so, in your church, do you have the full band and the electric guitars and the bongo drums and the whole nine yards? I mean, he went through all this. No, we don't. Well, what kind of music do you have? I said, the old-fashioned hymns. He said, oh, old-fashioned's right. I said, there's nothing wrong with them, and they still work. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Satan will tell you that you can have Jesus and the world too. Nope. It's not what the Bible teaches, right? The Bible doesn't say we can have both. We're going to embrace one and hate the other. So which one are we going for? The Bible is very clear. We cannot serve two masters. We can't. There's no way you can. So we're going to hate one. We'll serve the other. But you can't serve both. If you're really living for Jesus, your commitment to Jesus will be offensive to the world. They don't like it. But if you are committed to the world, your life will be offensive to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord told Moses to go to Pharaoh and bring his people out of Egypt. Look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. Exodus Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Anything less would have been a compromise. Anything less. The Lord said, "Go get my people and bring them out of Egypt." If Moses had done anything less, he would have been compromising the command of the Lord. The servants of God are to separate themselves from this sinful, wicked world. People say, "Well, we have to be in the world." Yes, we do, but the Bible says we don't have to be of the world. The Bible tells us, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." There should be a difference in God's children, a noticeable difference in God's children. You shouldn't have to walk around with a sign that says, "I am a Christian," right? There should be a noticeable difference. Our speech should be different. Our walk should be different. Our talk should be different. How we dress should be different. God's people continually walk in step with the world. They cease to be the church that God intended them to be. You can go into churches today and the music sounds like something you'd hear on some rock and roll radio station. It's ridiculous. No. Had one guy say, "We just take AC/DC music and we put Christian lyrics to it. And then it's Christian music." No, it's not. You can't take and mix water and gas and oil, gas and water, excuse me, together. You can't do it. They're different. They're not going to mix together. And yet, we try, right? Because it sounds good. We put some Christian lingo to it, made it sound good. No, you didn't. You took something that was demonic and tried to use it for something that still remained demonic. It's crazy. People of God dress up like they're going to Walmart. The preaching is a watered-down version of a motivational speech. They want their ears tickled. Well, you're in the wrong place. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to give you the Word of God. Once we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're supposed to come out from among them in this world. We're supposed to be different. And again, it should be obvious that we are different. We're not to become like them. What we're supposed to do is pray that they become like us. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many get wrapped up in things that take them out of church on Sunday. Might be sports, recreation, or any other thing this world has to offer. I still liked when I had the conversation with the guy. He's in church except for during football season. Well, how long does football season last anyway? Several months. Okay, so I'm going to be generous. 2/3 of the year you're in church? So you're out of church 1/3? So you really think you're doing something for God? I told him football was his God. God didn't get his hand over my mouth fast enough. But I told him, I said, then if you're not in church because football is more important to you, then football is your God. No. I don't worship football. When you put football before God, and then I explained to him that God was very gracious to us and invented the DVR. you can record that stuff and watch it later. Right? Of course I'm right. That's why God let us have the DVR, right? So we can record things and not interfere with his time of worship. Pharaoh says to Moses, "Don't leave. Offer your sacrifices right here among us. We will tolerate you and you tolerate us." What we need to do is understand this is Satan and we don't need to fall for his tricks. If Israel had been willing to take that deal, they would never have made it to the promised land. So the first deal, why don't you just sacrifice right here? Moses said, no, we're not accepting that deal. But one thing you got to understand, the devil never gives up. He's going to keep trying and keep trying. So number two, why don't you stay close by? Why don't you stay close by? Look at verse 28 of our text over in Exodus 8. And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Yeah, you can do it. Just stay pretty close, right? And Pharaoh said, it's time to make a deal. Let's make a deal. If your people must separate, don't go too far away. He doesn't want them far away from him because he cannot control them. And the devil makes that same deal to many believers today. Says, let's make a deal. You go ahead and be a Christian. Yeah, go ahead and be a Christian. But don't be a fanatic. I like it when they tell me I'm a fanatic for Christ. They think it's derogatory. I like it. They think they're getting under my skin. No, I enjoy it when they say that. And we should. Because it tells me that they're seeing something that makes them think that I am sold out for my Lord. We need to do that. They can be as fanatical as they want over whatever they want, and that's okay. We're supposed to tolerate that. But they tell us not to be fanatical about serving our God. He wants us to live our lives like the world around us. He says things like, you can go to church on Sunday morning, just don't talk about God on Monday. Really? Be saved if you want to, but don't talk about Jesus at work. Listen to the same music the lost worlds listen to fill your minds with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Have Jesus if you want him, but don't take this thing to the extreme by sharing it with others. I don't know about you, but the Bible says we're supposed to share it with others. So do we listen to Satan or do we listen to God? We better be listening to God. If we're going to serve the Lord, Satan wants us to live right there on the edge of sin. Like I said earlier, we go right over to that edge and we walk that fine line, right? God didn't say get as close to the edge of sin as you can. He said get away from it. In fact, he said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you, and Satan will flee. God's not over here tightrope walking this thing right on the edge of sin. He hates sin. He's not going to be over there dabbling by it. But we say, man, I wonder how close to the edge I can get before I fall over. Instead of, I wonder how far away from it I can get so I'm closest to God so Satan will flee. I have too many Christians living close to that edge. God wants us to be radically different from the world around us. So different that there will be no confusion as to whether or not we're a Christian. There's some people that ask me, do you think they're a Christian? I have no clue. And let's not get this wrong. People today, they know the lingo. They know what to say. It doesn't mean they're saved. They have a head knowledge of stuff, but they don't have a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they know what to say, so they can put on a pretty good show. But pretty much you should be able to say, well, I think they are. But a lot of times I have to say, I'm not really seeing any fruit. I don't know. If we're saved, we need to get as far away from the lost world as we can. Christians should not be like this unisex generation where you can't tell the guys from the gals. It's insane. Somebody asked me one day, do you think that's a guy over there? I said, I don't know. He's got extremely long hair, and as he turned just right, I could see a beard and I could see an earring. And I said, still not 100% sure. I remember we took the kids to the store one day when they were real little, and this big dude, biker dude, tattooed all up and piercings everywhere and long hair down to his backside and all. And my daughter said, look, Dad, he looks just like a girl. I said, would you shut up? You're going to get me killed. I thought, you had to, like, bellow that out in the middle of the store? She was right. But still, I said, there should be a way to tell the difference. Had one day come in here and tell me what his name was, and then he told me what he wanted me to call him. I said, that is not happening. It's not. I'm sorry. If you're male, you're a he or a him. If you're female, you're she or her. You're not going to get anything different from that from me. I'll call you by your name if I know it. Or if I can recall it at the moment, right? But I'm not gonna call males by females' names that they have chosen for themselves because they want to be something different than what God made them. Not gonna happen. There should be a difference. Satan says we need to be more seeker-friendly to get along, to go along. We need to quit dressing like attending the house of God is something special. Just dress like you're going to Walmart. Had a guy one day come in wasn't at this church, but he had a tank top on and shorts and flip-flops. And I just have this thing about zero tact, so I asked him if he thought he was going to the beach. He said, no, I'm coming to church. I said, well, then you're coming to meet with God. You should act like you're coming to meet with God. Not being mean, I'm just being truthful. When we come to church, we come to meet with Him. Not put on an act for me. I can be fooled. He can't. But God told Moses we need to get as far removed from the world and its ways and its attitudes as we possibly can. If we hang out with the ungodly, we're going to be influenced by them. He was like, no, 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 I'll get them. No, you won't. You're going to be influenced by the ungodly. We cannot rub up against them because if we do, we're going to be contaminated by them. We think we're going to bring them up to where they need to be, and instead they're going to bring us down to where they are. And Pharaoh had a third deal. There's only four. Why don't you split your families? That's straight from the pits of hell, by the way. Look at Exodus chapter 10, starting in verse 8 and going through verse 10. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Pharaoh said, Let's make a deal, Moses. You can take the men and go serve God, but leave the family here. Hey, Satan knows one of the best ways to get people is to break up the family. Pharaoh says, Yep, you guys can go, but you ain't taking the family with you. They're staying here. The Egyptians, about 80 years before this, wished to destroy the Hebrews, to get rid of them totally. And yet now they're saying, oh no, we got to have them. We got to have them. They're our cooks. They're our workers. They're our slaves. We can't get rid of them. We can't let them go. And as they began to let them go, they realized, what are we doing? What are we doing? Pharaoh didn't want them to go. These were his servants. It would crash his economy. Verse 9, Moses says, We will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. In other words, he's telling Pharaoh, We're going to go and we're leaving nothing behind. We're not leaving anything that God has given us behind for you to use for the devil. Yeah. We're not leaving anything behind. Then Pharaoh had another deal. Why don't you leave your possessions? Leave your possessions. Look at Exodus chapter 10, verses 24 through 26. It says, And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. Pharaoh says, Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. You must serve your Lord. Go. Go ahead. But you're leaving all your possessions behind. Says, Nope. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. He wanted to leave all their resources behind. When Moses heard it, he rejected it. He said, We're taking everything. We're not leaving so much as a hoof behind. We're taking it all. We need these possessions to offer up sacrifices to the Lord. We need to have that. We're taking all of it. It was given to us by the Lord, and we're not leaving it for your use. I think we should be like Moses. Not leave anything behind for the devil to use. I think when I'm out of here, I'm leaving what I have that God's given to me to people I know will use it for God's honor and God's glory. Not leaving it for the world. Not leaving it for Satan to use. Not happening. People say, well, the church, all you want is my money. No, we don't. God is capable of running his church with the finances of people that love him and give cheerfully to the work of God. I had a guy one time say, I told this couple in the church that if they don't give cheerfully, then just keep it, because there's no sense in giving it if they're doing it grudgingly. Exactly. See, the idea with people is, God needs my money, God needs my money. No, he doesn't. He owns it all. I had a preacher in Texas tell me, I have to be careful what I preach on because the people will leave and take their money with them. And I said, and I'd hold the door and say goodbye on their way out. He said, what? I said, God does not need their money. What God wants is people that are willing to give him back his money. There's a difference. A huge difference. And it comes from when we get to the point where we realize God owns it all and it's all his. Every Saturday night, I sit down and I write a check for Sunday morning. And it doesn't bother me in the least. And it doesn't matter how big it has to be or how small it has to be. It doesn't matter. I just write it out. I don't want to cheat him. People ask me over the years, do you give on the gross or on the net? Okay, now you're splitting hairs. Does God bless you on the net or on the gross? I mean, I would rather overgive than undergive. That's me. I always round up. People say, well, what if it's close to rounding down? Again, I would rather err on the side of too much than too little. It's his. Can he not take care of us? God keeps his churches going on the free will offerings of people who love him. It's to come from people who realize that everything they possess is a gift from the Lord, and they want to honor him by investing into his kingdom work. Too many people see their money as their money. They don't want to part with it. Then don't. Let me just tell you that God's going to get it one way or another. So if you don't give cheerfully, maybe the car breaks down. Maybe the furnace goes out. Maybe the hot water tank gives up. Maybe the shoes wear out. I mean, there's all kinds of things that God can have you spend that money on. He wants people to give to his work because they love him. The Lord will take care of his church, and he will do it through people who love him. When we make our break with Satan and his kingdom, we need to come out totally and completely. Pharaoh says, let's make a deal. You can go, but leave your possessions behind. Yeah, no. When we leave Earth, we need to make sure we don't leave anything behind for Satan to use. Nothing. Our love for God should be greater than our family and our friends. It's my desire that I leave it to people who love the Lord and trust that they'll use it for God's honor and God's glory. We, as God's children, are responsible for everything he's given us. We need to be good stewards. Again, I don't want to leave anything for the enemy. Many times people leave behind things that they will regret they left behind for Satan's use. We need to invest in things that truly matter. I'm afraid that many have heard the devil say, "Let's make a deal." They've traded something precious for something worthless. They've left a big part of themselves in the world behind. And they've traded their testimony for empty promises and wasted years. Let's give God our best. Let's not make a deal with Satan. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that there's many, many who have made deals with Satan and regretted it later in life. We need to understand that Satan's a liar. He's a manipulator. And he wants to trip us up at every chance. We just need to know what your word says and follow it. As long as we're obedient to it, we'll be all right. Father, again, as always, if there's someone in our midst who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. Father, I pray for those of us who have, I pray that we are not making deals with Satan. That we're not leaving anything that allows Satan to use to bring glory and honor to him. But that we're using all the things that you've allowed us to have, that you've given to us, to bring glory and honor to you. So as always, we'll have a time of invitation, turning it over to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.